When, monks, a noble disciple has clearly seen with correct wisdom as it really is this dependent origination and these dependently arisen phenomena, it is impossible that he will run back into the past thinking, "Did I exist in the past? Did I not exist in the past? What was I in the past? How was I in the past? Having been what did I become in the past?" Or that he will run forward into the future, thinking, "Will I exist in the future? Will I not exist in the future? What will I be in the future? How will I be in the future? Having been what will I become in the future?" Or that he will now be inwardly confused about the present, thus, "Do I exist? Do I not exist? What am I? How am I? This being, where has it come from, and where will it go?" For what reason? Because the noble disciple has clearly seen with correct wisdom as it really is this dependent origination and these dependently arisen phenomena. Samyutta Nikaya 12:20, 2:25-27. C. 44 Cases of Knowledge. Monks, I will teach you 44 cases of knowledge. Listen to that and attend closely. I will speak. "Yes, venerable sir," those monks replied. The Blessed One said this, "Monks, what are the 44 cases of knowledge? Knowledge of aging and death, knowledge of its origin, knowledge of its cessation, knowledge of the way leading to its cessation, knowledge of birth, knowledge of existence, knowledge of clinging, knowledge of craving, knowledge of feeling, knowledge of contact, knowledge of the six sense bases, knowledge of name and form, knowledge of consciousness, knowledge of volitional formations, knowledge of their origin, knowledge of their cessation, knowledge of the way leading to their cessation. These, monks, are the 44 cases of knowledge." And what, monks, is aging and death? Definition as in text 4, 3, stanza 22. Thus, this aging and this death are together called aging and death. With the arising of birth, there is the arising of aging and death. With the cessation of birth, there is the cessation of aging and death. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of aging and death, that is, right view, right concentration. When, monks, a noble disciple thus understands aging and death, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, this is his knowledge of the principle. By means of this principle that is seen, understood, immediately attained, fathomed, he applies the methods to the past and the future thus. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins in the past directly knew aging and death, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, all these directly knew it in the very same way that I do now. Whatever ascetics and Brahmins in the future will directly know aging and death, its origin, its cessation, and the way leading to its cessation, all these will directly know it in the very same way that I do now. This is his knowledge of entailment. When, monks, a noble disciple has purified and cleansed these two kinds of knowledge of the principle and knowledge of entailment, he is then called a noble disciple, who is accomplished in view, accomplished in vision, who has arrived at this true Dhamma, who sees this true Dhamma, who possesses a trainee's knowledge, a trainee's true knowledge, who has entered the stream of the Dhamma, a noble one with penetrative wisdom, one who stands squarely before the door to the deathless. And what, monks, is birth? What are the volitional formations? Definitions as in text 4, 3. This noble eightfold path is the way leading to the cessation of volitional formations, that is, right view, right concentration. When, monks, a noble disciple thus understands volitional formations, their origin, their cessation, and the way leading to their cessation, this is his knowledge of the principle. By means of this principle that is seen, understood, immediately attained, fathomed, He applies the method to the past and to the future. This is his knowledge of entailment. When, monks, a noble disciple has purified and cleansed these two kinds of knowledge, knowledge of the principle and knowledge of entailment, he is then called a noble disciple who is accomplished in view, one who stands squarely before the door to the deathless. Samyutta Nikaya, 12:33, 2:56-59. D. A teaching by the middle. At Savatthi, the venerable Kakanagotta approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and said to him, "Venerable Sir, it is said, right view, right view. In what way, Venerable Sir, is there right view?" "This world, Kakana, for the most part depends upon a duality, upon the idea of existence and the idea of non-existence. But for one who sees the origin of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no idea of non-existence in regard to the world. And for one who sees the cessation of the world as it really is with correct wisdom, there is no idea of existence in regard to the world. This world, Kakana, is for the most part shackled by engagement, clinging, and adherence. But this one, with right view, does not become engaged and cling through that engagement and clinging. Mental standpoint, adherence, underlying tendency. He does not take a stand about myself. He has no perplexity or doubt that what arises is only suffering arising. What ceases is only suffering ceasing. His knowledge about this is independent of others. It is in this way, Kakana, that there is right view. All exists, Kakana. This is one extreme. All does not exist. This is the second extreme. Without veering toward either of these extremes, the Tathagata teaches the Dhamma by the middle. With ignorance as condition, volitional formations come to be. With volitional formations as conditions, consciousness. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of ignorance comes cessation of volitional formations. With the cessation of volitional formations, cessation of consciousness. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya, 12:15, 2:16-17. E. The continuance of consciousness. Monks, what one intends and what one plans, and whatever one has a tendency toward, this becomes a basis for the continuance of consciousness. When there is a basis, there is a support for the establishing of consciousness. When consciousness is established and has come to growth, there is the production of future renewed existence. When there is the production of future renewed existence, future birth, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair come to be. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. If, monks, one does not intend and does not plan, but still has a tendency toward something, this becomes a basis for the continuance of consciousness. When there is a basis, there is a support for the establishing of consciousness. Such is the origin of this whole mass of suffering. But, monks, when one does not intend and does not plan and does not have a tendency toward anything, no basis exists for the continuance of consciousness. When there is no basis, there is no support for the establishing of consciousness. When consciousness is unestablished and does not come to growth, there is no production of future renewed existence. When there is no production of future renewed existence, future birth, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair cease. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya, 12:38, 2:65-66. F. The origin and passing of the world. Monks, I will teach you the origin and passing away of the world. Listen and attend closely. I will speak. Yes, venerable sir, the monks replied. The Blessed One said this, And what, monks, is the origin of the world? Independence on the eye and forms, eye consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. With feeling as condition, craving. With craving as condition, clinging. With clinging as condition, existence. With existence as condition, birth. With birth as condition, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection and despair come to be. This, monks, is the origin of the world. Independence on the ear and sounds, independence on the nose and odors, independence on the tongue and tastes, independence on the body and tactile objects, independence on the mind and mental phenomena, mind consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. With feeling as condition, craving. With craving as condition, clinging. Existence, birth. With birth as condition, aging and death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair come to be. This, monks, is the origin of the world. And what, monks, is the passing away of the world? Independence on the eye and forms, eye consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. With feeling as condition, craving. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of that same craving comes cessation of clinging. With the cessation of clinging, cessation of existence. With the cessation of existence, cessation of birth. With the cessation of birth, aging and death. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair cease. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. This, monks, is the passing away of the world. Independence on the ear and sounds, independence on the mind and mental phenomena. Mind consciousness arises. The meeting of the three is contact. With contact as condition, feeling comes to be. With feeling as condition, craving. But with the remainderless fading away and cessation of that same craving comes cessation of clinging, cessation of existence, cessation of birth. With the cessation of birth, aging and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection and despair cease. Such is the cessation of this whole mass of suffering. This, monks, is the passing away of the world. Samyutta Nikaya 12:44, 2:73-74. Verse 5. By way of the Four Noble Truths. A. The truths of all Buddhas. Monks, whatever perfectly enlightened Buddhas in the past, fully awakened to things as they really are, all fully awakened to the Four Noble Truths as they really are. Whatever perfectly enlightened Buddhas in the future will fully awaken to things as they really are, all will fully awaken to the Four Noble Truths as they really are. Whatever perfectly enlightened Buddhas at present have fully awakened to things as they really are, all have fully awakened to the Four Noble Truths as they really are. What for? The noble truth of suffering. The noble truth of the origin of suffering. The noble truth of the cessation of suffering. The noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Whatever perfectly enlightened Buddhas fully awakened, will fully awaken, have fully awakened to things as they really are, all have fully awakened to these four noble truths as they really are. Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the origin of suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the cessation of suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya 56:24, 5, 433 through 434. B. These four truths are actual. Monks, these four truths are actual, unerring, invariable. What for? This is suffering. This, monks, is actual, unerring, invariable. This is the origin of suffering. This is actual, unerring, invariable. This is the cessation of suffering. This is actual, unerring, invariable. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. This is actual, unerring, invariable. These four things, monks, are actual, unerring, invariable. Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya 56:20, 5, 430 through 431. C. A handful of leaves. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Kosambi, in a Simpasa grove. Then the Blessed One took up a few Simpasa leaves in his hand and addressed the monks thus, "What do you think, monks? Which is more numerous? These few leaves that I have taken up in my hand, or those in the grove overhead?" "Venerable sir, the leaves that the Blessed One has taken up in his hand are few, but those in the grove overhead are numerous." "So too, monks, the things I have directly known but have not taught you are numerous, while the things I have taught you are few. And why, monks, have I not taught those many things?" "Because they are without benefit, irrelevant to the fundamentals of the spiritual life, and do not lead to disenchantment, to dispassion, to cessation, to peace, to direct knowledge, to enlightenment, to Nibbana. Therefore I have not taught them." "And what, monks, have I taught?" "I have taught, this is suffering. I have taught, this is the origin of suffering. I have taught, this is the cessation of suffering. I have taught, this is the way leading to the cessation of suffering." "And why, monks, have I taught this?" "Because this is beneficial, relevant to the fundamentals of the spiritual life, and leads to disenchantment, to dispassion, to cessation, to peace, to direct knowledge, to enlightenment, to Nibbana. Therefore, I have taught this." "Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering." Samyutta Nikaya 56:31, 5, 437 through 438. D. Because of not understanding. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling among the Vajjians at Kotigama. There the Blessed One addressed the monks thus, "Monks, it is because of not understanding and not penetrating the Four Noble Truths that you and I have roamed and wandered through this long course of samsara. What for? It is, monks, because of not understanding and not penetrating the noble truth of suffering that you and I have roamed and wandered through this long course of samsara. It is because of not understanding and not penetrating the noble truth of the origin of suffering, the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, the noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering, that you and I have roamed and wandered through this long course of samsara. That noble truth of suffering, monks, has been understood and penetrated. That noble truth of the origin of suffering has been understood and penetrated. That noble truth of the cessation of suffering has been understood and penetrated. That noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering has been understood and penetrated. Craving for existence has been cut off. The conduit to existence has been destroyed. Now there is no more renewed existence. Samyutta Nikaya 56:21, 5, 431 through 432. E. The precipice. On one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Rajagaha on Mount Vulture Peak. Then the Blessed One addressed the monks thus, "Come, monks, let us go to Inspiration Peak for the day's abiding." "Yes, Venerable Sir," those monks replied. Then the Blessed One, together with a number of monks, went to Inspiration Peak. A certain monk saw the steep precipice off Inspiration Peak and said to the Blessed One, "That precipice is indeed steep, Venerable Sir. That precipice is extremely frightful." "But is there, Venerable Sir, a precipice steeper and more frightful than that one?" "There is, monk." "But what precipice, Venerable Sir, is steeper and more frightful than that one?" "Those ascetics and Brahmins, monk, who do not understand as it really is, this is suffering. This is the origin of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. They delight in volitional formations that lead to birth, aging, and death. They delight in volitional formations that lead to sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. Delighting in such volitional formations, they generate volitional formations that lead to birth, aging, and death. They generate volitional formations that lead to sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. Having generated such volitional formations, they tumble down the precipice of birth, aging, and death. They tumble down the precipice of sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. They are not freed from birth, aging, and death, not freed from sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair, not freed from suffering, I say. But, monk, those ascetics and Brahmins who understand as it really is, this is suffering. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. They do not delight in volitional formations that lead to birth, aging, and death. They do not generate volitional formations that lead to sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. Not delighting in such volitional formations, they do not generate volitional formations that lead to birth, aging, and death. They do not generate volitional formations that lead to sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. Not having generated such volitional formations, they do not tumble down the precipice of birth, aging, and death. They do not tumble down the precipice of sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair. They are freed from birth, aging, and death, freed from sorrow, lamentation, pain, dejection, and despair, freed from suffering, I say. Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya, 56, 42, 5, 448 through 450. F. Making the Breakthrough. Monks, if anyone should speak thus, without having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of suffering as it really is, without having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the origin of suffering as it really is, without having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the cessation of suffering as it really is, without having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering as it really is, I will completely make an end to suffering. This is impossible. Just as, monks, if someone should speak thus, having made a basket of acacia leaves or of pine needles or of myrobalan leaves, I will bring water or a palm fruit. This would be impossible. So too, if anyone should speak thus, without having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of suffering as it really is, I will completely make an end to suffering. This is impossible. But, monks, if anyone should speak thus, having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of suffering as it really is, having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the origin of suffering as it really is, having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the cessation of suffering as it really is, having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering as it really is, I will completely make an end to suffering. This is possible. Just as, monks, if someone should speak thus, having made a basket of lotus leaves, or of kino leaves, or of maluva leaves, I will bring water, or a palm fruit. This would be possible. So too, if anyone should speak thus, having made the breakthrough to the noble truth of suffering as it really is, I will completely make an end to suffering. This is possible. Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya, 56-32. 5. 442 through 443. G. The destruction of the taints. Monks, I say that the destruction of the taints is for one who knows and sees, not for one who does not know and does not see. For one who knows what, for one who sees what, does the destruction of the taints come about? The destruction of the taints comes about for one who knows and sees. This is suffering. This is the origin of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. It is for one who knows thus, for one who sees thus, that the destruction of the taints comes about. Therefore, monks, an exertion should be made to understand. This is suffering. An exertion should be made to understand. This is the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Samyutta Nikaya, 56-25, 5, 434. Part 5. The Goal of Wisdom. Verse 1. What is Nibbana? On one occasion, the Venerable Sariputta was dwelling in Magadha at Nalakagama. Then the wanderer, Jambukhadaka, approached the Venerable Sariputta and exchanged greetings with him. When they had concluded their greetings in cordial talk, he sat down to one side and said to the Venerable Sariputta, "Friend Sariputta, it is said, Nibbana, Nibbana. What now is Nibbana? The destruction of lust, the destruction of hatred, the destruction of delusion. This, friend, is called Nibbana. But, friend, is there a path? Is there a way for the realization of this Nibbana?" "There is a path, friend. There is a way for the realization of this Nibbana." "And what, friend, is that path? What is that way for the realization of this Nibbana?" "It is, friend, this noble eightfold path, that is, right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. This is the path, friend. This is the way for the realization of this Nibbana." "Excellent is the path, friend. Excellent is the way for the realization of this Nibbana. And it is enough, friend Sariputta, for diligence." Samyutta Nikaya, 38.1, 4, 251 through 252. Verse 2. 33 synonyms for Nibbana. Monks, I will teach you the unconditioned and the path leading to the unconditioned. Listen. And what, monks, is the unconditioned? The destruction of lust, the destruction of hatred, the destruction of delusion. This is called the unconditioned. And what, monks, is the path leading to the unconditioned? Mindfulness directed to the body. This is called the path leading to the unconditioned. Monks, I will teach you the uninclined, the taintless, the truth, the far shore, the subtle, the very difficult to see, the unaging, the stable, the undisintegrating, the unmanifest, the unproliferated, the peaceful, the deathless, the sublime, the auspicious, the secure, the destruction of craving, the wonderful, the amazing, the unailing state, Nibbana, the unafflicted, dispassion, purity, freedom, non-attachment, the island, the shelter, the asylum, the refuge, the destination, and the path leading to the destination. Listen. And what, monks, is the destination? The destruction of lust, the destruction of hatred, the destruction of delusion. This is called the destination. And what, monks, is the path leading to the destination? Mindfulness directed to the body. This is called the path leading to the destination. Thus, monks, I have taught you the unconditioned, the destination, and the path leading to the destination. Whatever should be done, monks, by a compassionate teacher out of compassion for his disciples, desiring their welfare, that I have done for you. These are the roots of trees, monks. These are empty huts. Meditate, monks. Do not be negligent, lest you regret it later. This is my instruction to you. Samyutta Nikaya, 43:1-44. Combined. 4. 359-373. Verse 3. There is that base. Thus have I heard. At one time the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi in Jetta's grove, Anathapindika's park. Now on that occasion the Blessed One was instructing, rousing, inspiring, and gladdening the monks with a Dhamma talk connected with Nibbana, and those monks were receptive and attentive, concentrating their whole mind, intent on listening to the Dhamma. Then, on realizing its significance, the Blessed One on that occasion uttered this inspired utterance. There is, monks, that base where there is neither earth, nor water, nor heat, nor air, neither the base of the infinity of space, nor the base of the infinity of consciousness, nor the base of nothingness, nor the base of neither perception nor non-perception, neither this world nor another world, neither sun nor moon. Here, monks, I say there is no coming, no going, no standing still, no passing away, and no being reborn. It is not established, not moving, without support. Just this is the end of suffering. Udana 8:1-80. Verse 4. The Unborn. Thus have I heard. At one time the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi in Jetta's grove, Anathapindika's park. Now on that occasion the Blessed One was instructing the monks with a Dhamma talk connected with Nibbana. And those monks were receptive, intent on listening to the Dhamma. Then, on realizing its significance, the Blessed One on that occasion uttered this inspired utterance. There is, monks, an unborn, unbecome, unmade, unconditioned. If, monks, there were no unborn, unbecome, unmade, unconditioned, no escape would be discerned from what is born, become, made, conditioned. But because there is an unborn, unbecome, unmade, unconditioned, therefore an escape is discerned from what is born, become, made, conditioned. Udana 8:3-80-81. Verse 5. The Two Nibbana Elements. There are, monks, these two Nibbana elements. What are the two? The Nibbana element with residue remaining, and the Nibbana element without residue remaining. And what, monks, is the Nibbana element with residue remaining? Here, a monk is an arahant, one whose taints are destroyed, who has lived the holy life, done what had to be done, laid down the burden, reached his own goal, utterly destroyed the fetters of existence, one completely liberated through final knowledge. However, his five sense faculties remain unimpaired, by which he still experiences what is agreeable and disagreeable, still feels pleasure and pain. It is the destruction of lust, hatred, and delusion in him that is called the Nibbana element with residue remaining. And what, monks, is the Nibbana element without residue remaining? Here, a monk is an arahant, one completely liberated through final knowledge. For him, here in this very life, All that is felt, not being delighted in, will become cool right here. That, monks, is called the Nibbana element without residue remaining. These, monks, are the two Nibbana elements. Itivutaka 44:38. Verse 6. The fire and the ocean. 15. The wanderer, Vakchagota, asked the Blessed One, "Then does Master Gotama hold any speculative view at all?" Vakcha, speculative view, is something that the Tathagata has put away. For the Tathagata, Vakcha, has seen this. Such is form. Such its origin. Such its passing away. Such is feeling. Such its origin. Such its passing away. Such is perception. Such is origin. Such its passing away. Such are volitional formations. Such their origins. Such their passing away. Such is consciousness. Such its origin. Such its passing away. Therefore, I say, with the destruction, fading away, cessation, giving up and relinquishing of all conceiving, all rumination, all eye-making, mind-making, and the underlying tendency to conceit, the Tathagata is liberated through not clinging. 16. When a monk's mind is liberated thus, Master Gotama, where is he reborn after death? Is reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Then he is not reborn, Master Gotama. Is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Then he both is reborn and is not reborn, Master Gotama. Both is reborn and is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Then he neither is reborn nor is not reborn, Master Gotama. Neither is reborn nor is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. 17. When Master Gotama is asked these four questions, he replies, is reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Both is reborn and is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Neither is reborn nor is not reborn does not apply, Vakcha. Here I have fallen into bewilderment, Master Gotama. Here I have fallen into confusion, and the measure of confidence I had gained through previous conversations with Master Gotama has now disappeared. 18. It is enough to cause you bewilderment, Vakcha, enough to cause you confusion. For this Dhamma, Vakcha, is profound, hard to see and hard to understand, peaceful and sublime, unattainable by mere reasoning, subtle, to be experienced by the wise. It is hard for you to understand it when you hold another view, accept another teaching, approve of another teaching, pursue a different training, and follow a different teacher. So I shall question you about this in return, Vakcha. Answer as you choose. What do you think, Vakcha? Suppose a fire were burning before you. Would you know, this fire is burning before me? I would, Master Gotama. If someone were to ask you, Vakcha, what does this fire burning before you burn in dependence on? Being asked thus, what would you answer? Being asked thus, Master Gotama, I would answer, this fire burning before me burns in dependence on grass and sticks. If that fire before you were to be extinguished, would you know this fire before me has been extinguished? I would, Master Gotama. If someone were to ask you, Vakcha, when that fire before you was extinguished, to which direction did it go? To the east, the west, the north, or the south? Being asked thus, what would you answer? That does not apply, Master Gotama. The fire burned in dependence on its fuel of grass and sticks. When that is used up, if it does not get any more fuel, being without fuel, it is reckoned as extinguished. 20. So too, Vakcha, the Tathagata has abandoned that form by which one describing the Tathagata might describe him. He has cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, done away with it so that it is no longer subject to future arising, liberated from reckoning in terms of form. The Tathagata is deep, immeasurable, hard to fathom like the ocean. Is reborn does not apply. Is not reborn does not apply. Both is reborn and is not reborn does not apply. neither is reborn nor is not reborn does not apply. The Tathagata has abandoned that feeling by which one describing the Tathagata might describe him, has abandoned that perception by which one describing the Tathagata might describe him, has abandoned those volitional formations by which one describing the Tathagata might describe him, has abandoned that consciousness by which one describing the Tathagata might describe him. He has cut it off at the root, made it like a palm stump, done away with it so that it is no longer subject to future arising, liberated from reckoning in terms of consciousness. The Tathagata is deep, immeasurable, hard to fathom like the ocean. Is reborn does not apply. Is not reborn does not apply. Both is reborn and is not reborn does not apply. Neither is reborn nor is not reborn does not apply. From Majjhima Nikaya, 72. Agivachaka Gotta Sutta, 1, 486 through 488.